Lisa wants to hear from you. Call her at 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show is on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Incidentally, we've left quite a few messages with the Bridgeport Police Department. If you call their general number, they tell you that they will tell you that they are experiencing a high volume of calls, and then they hang up on you. So then you have to call back and try and leave a message with various departments, which we have done. And once again, if a member of the Bridgeport Police Department wants to call the show at 203-333-9422 to respond to allegations that the family of Lauren Smith Fields was not treated kindly, was not treated compassionately, maybe was not even treated in the way the protocol of the Bridgeport Police would have that a family be treated. That's what I'm interested in. Is this a normal way that when a person dies under mysterious circumstances, is this a normal way that people are treated, which is to put a note on the door or call the landlord who then puts a note on the door? I mean, I would like to know that. 203-333-9422. Joining us now is Mark Donovan, who is from Westport and who valiantly attempted to stop the slaughter of trees. Mark Donovan, you are my neighbor, or at least in my town. We're not neighbors, but we're neighbors enough. We're both residents of Westport. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show, and good morning, Mark.
Well, thank you, and is good morning your honor an appropriate greeting? I'm not sure.
Not on the air. Only in my courtroom. Only in my courtroom, Mark. And hopefully you'll never be in my courtroom. You don't want to be in probate court for most reasons, unless you're adopting a kid or changing your name. Those are just about the two only happy categories we have. Other than that, you really don't want to be in probate court.
All right. Okay. I'll try to avoid it.
But Lisa is good.
Pleasure to be here.
Me
too. Hi, Lisa. Good to see you.
Hi. So Mark, so tell us about what happened on Prospect Road in Westport. What happened with the trees?
Well, we've lived in this. I grew up in this house. The house has been in our family for about 50 years. A year ago, January, my wife and my youngest daughter and I moved from the city back out to Connecticut, where my mom was still living in the house. My dad passed a number of years ago, back in 2018, and so she's been alone, and COVID made that more complicated. So we made the decision to come out and cohabitate with her, which has been a lovely experience. And over the summer, the neighbors got an offer from one of the luxury developers in town to purchase their property and develop the property, and we came to understand through those conversations that the plan was to take down all the trees, clear cut the property, which there were about probably 7, 8, 9 trees in the setback of the property right along the property line that we shared, which were the vast majority of which were quite sizable. And there was what got the most prominence was this cluster of 5 oak trees that were quite large. But there were 2 or 3 others that were also along the property line further in the back that were also quite large. And they've all since come down. But that wasn't without negotiating quite a bit, having many conversations. I personally had many conversations with the construction companies, directly with the developer themselves. He had said that he was going to move in there with his family. We just really tried to make the case that, you know, these trees were a significant part of our experience in that property. And if there was any way to save them or some of them, then that would be a great thing. And ultimately, 100% of them came down. 100% of the ones along the property line, the sizable trees on the property line came down. And once we realized that the trees were going to come down, we shifted our attention to, well, how can we make sure this doesn't happen again? How do we adjust the ordinances in the town so that there are more restrictions, or there's just more of a process to how this happens rather than it just sort of happening in the shadows, nobody sees it, and then you look up and all these properties are clear-cut, and what are you going to do at that point? You can't do anything. And so what happened was when they brought the cranes and the chainsaws in, the news initially came out because we had put up signs along the road to try to they had the trees, and the developer didn't care for that very much. We agreed to take the signs down if they would just negotiate with us in good faith, and they said they would, so we did. And that good faith negotiation ended up with basically nothing going in our favor. And so we threw a swing over one of the trees. A number of the trees actually hung and leaned over our property with significant branches over our property. And so we, as we had done previously, we threw a swing over over one of the branches. And because it was a few days before Christmas, there's no way to get more media attention than to have Santa Claus sitting in a swing, trying to save a tree. And that's what we did. And we've gotten quite a bit of attention actually now on a national level, which we feel excited about.
Mark Donovan, who was the developer?
It's Coastal Construction, which is one of the luxury developers in town. Joe Feinlieb is their proprietor. And that's who the developer is.
Thank you.
This is not their first time with having this issue. And by the way, in fairness, they're not the only developer who with this.
I know that. Just wondering.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A couple of things as I'm listening to you.
Sure.
First of all, I don't know if you happen to see the New York Times did a piece in the last year in 2021 that the average oak tree is home to more than 700 individual animal and insect species. Every single oak tree. On average, 700.
Yep.
700.
Oh, yeah.
700.
Yeah.
So every time an oak in particular an oak tree, is needlessly demolished, it demolishes an entire ecosystem of creatures that can't get on the radio and don't speak English.
Yep.
So I just want to acknowledge that, because I think that it needs to be acknowledged that we are not the only beings on the planet, but we act like we are. All the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're starting to see, clearly we see the impact of that every single day. I have three daughters. Two of them are now out of the house. One is still in the house. And, you know, a lot of them speak of, because of what's going on with some of the environmental stuff, that, you know, why would I ever have a child and raise them inside this world?
Oh,
and that was, that's an incredibly upsetting thing to hear. And they are not the only ones that I've heard make that statement in that age group. And I care about the environment. I wouldn't describe myself as an environmentalist. But I think that when you start to consider the impact of, I look at this really as a community issue and inside of Westport, and that community easily expands out to the other members of our community, which are, you know, which certainly includes the trees. You know, without the ecosystem, we don't really have much of a community. The indigenous people understood this, mm-hmm. And respected this. And it's clearly something that, modern day folks do. You know, struggle with trying to figure out how to manage it, for sure.
I used to be on our Planning and Zoning Commission in Westport. I was also on our Zoning Board of Appeals. I think it's fair to say that I was a thorn in the side of many local developers. I think that that's a fair characterization of me. I think that that would, my reputation would, if you look back over how I voted on things. Because I felt that when you're a member of one of these local volunteer boards, that your job is to protect the neighbors and the neighborhoods, and that professional organizations like developers and, you know, people like that, they set aside a budget. It's their business. They're in a profit-making business. They set aside a budget for lawyers. They set aside a budget for land planners, and they know what they're doing in front of these boards. But neighbors get up one day and they're like, holy cow, what's happened to my neighborhood? What's happened to my corner? What's happened to my trees? So I always felt like my job was to be on the side of the neighbors, because they didn't anticipate when they got up that morning that they were going to have to set aside savings to help defend their property. First thing I would like to say to you, Mark Donovan, I don't know your political affiliation and I don't care, is I hope that you will take this energy and passion and run for one of the town boards where land use decisions are made every single day. And we need people like you in our town. That's what I want to say. And I don't know your affiliation. I could care less about what it is.
Yeah. Look, I appreciate that. And I think that that's the I think that I serve on a number of different boards. And I'm definitely the one who who pushes for positive change. And that's a, as you, sounds like you well know, that is a, that's a challenging seat to be sitting in, because I think most folks are just looking for the easy path forward. And, you know, if this kind of change was really easy, then it would already be in place and
that's right.
we'd all be living a different way. It's not easy. And I will give some props to the planning and zoning here in Westport. And we are already a few drafts into changing legislation. You know, I certainly hear comments inside of these planning and zoning meetings that make me uncomfortable, like we don't want to overstep. And I think to myself, overstep for what? I mean, operating a business in this town or any town is a privilege, and there are rules in our society, and rules are put into place when people on their own can't make good decisions. And clearly, this is one of those things where we need a different set of rules. And sure, there are restrictions, and that may affect sort of the common resident. But ultimately, I think you've got to have a different set of structures in place to prevent this kind of thing to happen.
Well, there are other towns, even in Connecticut, Brooklyn, Connecticut is one, that have already created local ordinances that do not permit the clear cutting of trees. Now, in some towns, they may look for old growth. In some towns, they may look for the diameter of a tree, of a certain kind of tree. So if a diameter is of a certain width, girth, then that tree is marked. And it cannot be demolished without, let's say, a hearing or some other proceeding where people can object.
Right.
I mean, there are.
Right.
It doesn't have to be all or nothing. There are reasonable
right.
ways to approach a balancing of competing interests.
I could not agree with you more. I think that's exactly right. It's not about that nobody can ever cut down a tree. It's not that there aren't reasons, safety reasons, and even to some degree, I think convenience reasons. But I think that there's got to be boundaries aligned with that.
And just so you know, in terms of precedent, and I don't know that the current Planning and Zoning Commission is aware of this or not, but there was a lot of angst that divided the town of Westport over the building of the Westport Y, which was relocated from downtown to Mahackinac Camp.
And yeah, I remember, yep.
Okay. And let me tell you what happened with that, because as you know, it was a very forested area, much more forested mm-hmm. then than it is now because of all the parking, et cetera, and the building. But what they did was they went through the whole property, and every tree over, I think it was 4 or 5 or 6 inch diameter, had a yellow sticky on it. Those trees were not able to be removed. Now, maybe some of them had to be removed and then replanted with a tree of significant size. But before they were allowed to clear cut that area, there were restrictions on the development. And the Y was more than happy to comply because they also loved their property. And they also really did not want to clear cut any more than they needed to. So
right.
there's a precedent even within Westport for saying there shouldn't be clear cutting all the time. There just shouldn't be.
Yep. Yeah. I completely agree. I completely agree. And I think this has been a shocking process. A shocking process. And I think that there's, it's been really quite startling, and how little power we had.
Isn't it?
Power's not even.
You must have cried that day, Mark. You must have cried that day.
I will tell you. I will never ever forget when I was over on the property with the developer, and he said, "You know, we're gonna take the trees down. We need to take the trees down." And I went back to my property. I talked to my mom about it. She fell to her knees weeping.
Oh.
And this is a woman who is 80 years old, and you know, this is what she has left. This is her memory box, right? And I went back over, and when I explained that to the developer, and I just said, you know, look, we're going to push as hard as we can with the loudest megaphone we can, and I know you don't like the signs, but we're going to do everything we can to prevent this from happening. His response to that was literally, I'm not responsible for your mother's emotional problems. And I thought, wow. I mean, that is like, for somebody who apparently is going to move into the home next to us, that is the strangest statement to make given the circumstances.
So that we don't know how truthful that original comment was, do we? since other comments might not have been truthful. We don't know.
What do you mean truthful?
Well, we don't know if he's actually going to move into the house. You don't know.
I don't. I mean, look, I have no reason to believe that he is not a nice man in his personal world. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. And I believe if he says he's going to move into the house, I believe it. I know that there's always discussion. Everyone always says, developers always say that. Sometimes they move in for a year and then they move out. I don't really know. If he said it, I have no reason to not believe it. But I just found it so strange to kind of have that kind of interaction with someone who's going to be your neighbor. And I mean, that's the sort of, it just is, it seems almost twisted in ways. And so, you know, our goal now is to get as much attention on this issue and get people as engaged as possible so that the town makes the best changes that they can to the existing statutes and policies, whatever sort of governs all of that. And that's really our goal. I mean, the trees are gone. The entire north side of our property line is blue sky now, which is likely in the next year going to be replaced by some absurdly enormous house on a too small piece of property. I went and we just took a peek over at the property to see the foundation, got up on a ladder and looked over. It's clear why they wanted the trees to go down, because the foundation is absurd in its enormity. And clearly the root systems of the trees were going to be deeply impacted by the trees. Never would have survived the dig.
I see.
And that, you know, that's certainly got to be part of the reasoning. But the part that I don't understand is how we don't, there was no effort, or at least it was not apparent to us that there was any kind of shifting of plans whatsoever. They wanted to do it. They were going to do it. They had the legal right to do it. It didn't matter how that impacted us. And that just seems like a negative way to roll into a neighborhood, it seems.
Mark
like.
Donovan, before we let you go, is there any
email
or website or anything that you would like to have any of our listeners check out or check into if they are also interested in following this issue of clear cutting? Because there are many people from many towns who I think are just as upset about the policies in their own town.
Right. I mean, I think that the thing to do today is to contact the Planning and Zoning Commission in town and let them know how you feel. And I believe their email is P as in Peter, A N D Z. So Planning and Zoning, PANDZ at westportct.gov. And I would be very vocal with them about how you feel. And there are people who are on all sorts of different sides of this. But in the last Planning and Zoning meeting, I thought a resident said it well, which was, let's just call this out for what it is. Residents are not clear-cutting their properties. It is the luxury developers that are coming in and clear-cutting their properties. Residents don't, the general residents don't come in and cut down all the trees on their property. And I thought that was a reasonable point. So I'd be contacting Planning and Zoning and get into the discussion, because that's what we have moving forward. And I think there's a great opportunity to do good things inside this town.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Donovan on the Lisa Wexler Show today on the subject of saving trees. We thank you. And I look forward to seeing you in person or virtually at whatever in town. I don't know why we haven't met. I've lived in town since 89 myself, but maybe we have. But, you know, everyone's wearing a mask nowadays, so who the hell can recognize anybody anyway?
Well, let's make that happen. I appreciate you taking the time and having me on this morning.
Pleasure. Mark Donovan on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.